introduce somebody to you all today. Today we have not just my boss, but somebody that's been a whole lot more to us. Our district supervisors, Pastor Peter and Lisa Bonanno, are here with us. And if you guys want to come on up here, I want to share something with you about these two, and I'll never forget this, that there was a time, I believe Pastor Peter was in Africa, coming back from Africa, and I get a phone call from him that we had been looking for a building, and there was one that we were gonna, that we really wanted to bid on in an auction, but we just didn't have the money. And Pastor Peter calls me, and he says, "So I hear you want to bid on a building." I was like, "Well, yeah, I'd love to, but we just don't have it." He said, "Do you want it?" I said, "Yeah." "Do you believe that this is what you guys are supposed to do?" "Yeah, but Pastor Peter, we just don't have the finances." He said, "How much do you have?" And I shared with him. He said, "Okay." He said, "Here's what we're going to do." He said, "Go for it." I said, "But I didn't do all the paperwork. It's backwards." He said, "Don't worry about that. You just go do this. We'll take care of that." And so we started just walking down that path, and that one we didn't get. The bidding went ridiculous. But I remember after he had shared that with me, I shut the office door where I was at. I hung up the phone and I bawled like a baby. He's from the Northeast. He's not from here. But he believes in us and what he's doing here enough. So when it came to this building, this facility and all, we talked through it. He went to the district council on our behalf to help get us the money to be able to do the down payment for this, and this is what we have. So, Pastor Peter, you're so much more than a boss. I don't just, what you've meant to us, what you've meant to these folks. It's easy to submit to leadership, and we're so grateful for you and what you've meant to Rachel and I and to our church. Just what we know that you guys are doing, not just for us here in Kentucky, but across the Northeast and seeing your all's hearts, it's absolutely amazing. So it's a joy for us. Thank you so much for what you've done. And we've got a couple of things here for you guys. It is. Yes. So we want that. Open that up. Open that up. Sure. Go ahead. Yes. Yeah, go ahead, Lisa. Yes, it's local. It's made right up the road here. You told me to keep that away, so. Yeah, so you guys will never be able to forget us here in Kentucky. And I know you don't. So,
I love you.
So I know that Pastor Peter has a word for us this morning. So if you would welcome Pastor Peter and Lisa here with us this morning.
Well, thank you so much. Listen, you guys. Is this on? Can you hear me? Okay. You guys have the best pastors ever. Do you know that? Do you realize what a gem these pastors are? Can you just give your pastors and leaders a hand? We love you guys. We really love you. This church is a shining beacon of hope in this community. I can sense it in my spirit. As soon as I walked in, I was like, wow, this church is going somewhere. Because of God and because of Jesus and because of the spirit that is within you that love people in this community. We hear reports about you and what you're doing all the time, and it just brings us so much joy. And so we're just so proud of you. And I guess I would just say that I'm praying for you. Both Peter and I, we pray for you all the time. And the scripture that I just think of this morning that just kind of, I just want to proclaim it over you, is that it's from, I think it's from 2 Thessalonians 3. I should look it up before. But I have it kind of in my heart, and it is, I'll say it, Lisa's version. Lisa, instead of the NIV, it's Lisa's version. It goes, "May the Lord Jesus, our Master and Savior, pave the way for you. May he open doors for you that you have been praying for, things that are beyond you, that you're just like, I just don't know how. Jesus is going to pave the way for you. He's going to open doors. He's going to show you the road to walk. He's going to pour on the love.
Thank you, Lord.
He's going to pour on the love so much so that it overflows from your life to everybody you touch in your schools, in your communities, in your neighborhoods. You guys, he loves you. He adores you. And we're just so proud of you. So thank you for being here. Thank you for serving him so well. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lisa. Wow. It is just a privilege to be with you guys. A couple of years ago, right, maybe even 3 years ago, I was with you in the school. And I remember just the joy that was in your church and in your heart, and the sense that God called you to be in this community, to love this community, to be a blessing to it. And so when Pastor called me about that, one thing is that when we were pastoring in New Hampshire, which culturally, of course, it's the Northeast, but there's a lot of similarities to that part of the country and this part of the country. And we had bid on a piece of land, so we were familiar with auctions. And we knew that that if you're going to do it, you got to do it, right? And you got to kind of set a limit of what you're going to bid on. And so when Pastor Rennie called me, I was like, yeah, let's go for it. And then knowing that this facility came available, and you guys have done an awesome job. I didn't see the before other than in some pictures, but it looks great. And, you know, a building is just a tool, right? We know that this place is not the church, but these people, you, us, we are the church. And so it's just a privilege to be with you. And we do love your pastors a lot. Lisa and I were talking, and we said, you know, whenever we see Pastor Rennie and Rachel, it just makes our hearts happy because they're just so winsome. They're family. And that flows over to each of you as part of this church as well. So it is a blessing to be with you. Today I want to hopefully give you a word that, as Pastor Rennie said, is going to minister your heart and be encouraging, but also be a challenge, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but there are times where we can hear something, and if we're not challenged in it, it's okay. It could kind of help us say, you know, there's a confirming thing there, and it's good, but to be challenged is to kind of be stepped up in another level. And today I want to do a bit of both, encourage you and challenge you. I love what God is doing here, but I also believe that God wants to do more. Amen. I love how God has planted you in the city, and I know your involvement in the community, your pastor's involvement in the community, but I really believe that there's more to come, yes. That there's another level of stretching that God is going to do in your life personally. You know, when you stop growing, when you stop kind of being challenged in your own life spiritually, you kind of end up drifting. You kind of end up drifting. And God wants to challenge all of us. Doesn't matter how old we are, how long we've been serving the Lord, right? He's always doing something new. Behold, he says, I do a new thing. And sometimes the new thing is a hard thing. Because we say, I like the old thing. The good old days. But the Lord wants to do a new thing. And so today, as I talk to you about calling, I just want to start by just saying to you that when we consider our calling, what that really means is letting the Lord speak at this moment about what your purpose is. I say there are two greatest moments in life. The day that we were born and the day we figure out why we were born. And that's what calling is. And it's progressive. So what may have been, okay, God, you called me to this, but now in this season, I'm here. What are you calling me to in this next season? And so, but there's a couple of things I want to leave you with today when it comes to the idea of your calling personally and your calling as a church. And I just like to start with, just tell you a little bit about something in my life when I was just a young boy. I was about 10 years old, and at this time in our life, my parents had been divorced for a few years by then, and I lived in Florida. My brother and I have a brother who's 4 years younger than me. And I was coming home from school, 10 years old, walked home from school. The elementary school was relatively close by. Walking home from school, coming to my our apartment complex in North Miami Beach, Florida, where we lived. And the apartment complex was arranged so that there were, I would say about 10 buildings. And they were all these 10 buildings were in a circle. And in the center of the buildings was a little lake that was a man-made lake there. And there was swimming in there and fishing and different things like that. And so at 10 years old, I'm walking home from school, have my backpack on, and coming home from school, and I realize that there's a crowd of people that are gathered around this whole area. There are police cars, there's an ambulance, and there's just a lot of activity going on. So of course, I'm coming home, and I get through the crowd and walk through to see what's happening. And as I'm walking through, everyone's eyes are turning toward me. And that was just odd. And then the more I walked, I saw what was the scene, what was happening. My mom was in the water trying to drown herself. At 10 years old, I experienced something so traumatic. Now, my mom had always struggled with addiction. Heroin, pills, on and on. And so it wasn't unusual for me to know that she was struggling with something, but to see her go to that extent as a 10-year-old boy, there were so many different emotions I felt at that moment. Great sadness from my mom. Embarrassment as my friends, peers were looking at me. A sense of hopelessness. A sense of what could my life become? And it wasn't just at 10 years old, but 11 and 12 and even into my 20s and 30s that I never believed that God could use someone like me from a background like I had, from a situation that I had been brought up in and from a home life, a family. And so I grew up feeling somewhat like a nobody. Now, some of you have heard what I do as a district supervisor. Before that, we pastored a church that we planted, and God really has blessed a lot of what we have done, but it's really only by His grace. But when people look at me or look at us, if I don't tell those kinds of parts of my life, you begin to think that I'm something that I'm not. Isn't it easy for us to do that when we see someone? We can kind of make pretty quick judgments about them. You know, you see someone that, you know, maybe looks a little rough around the edges, and you look at them and you kind of make a judgment in your mind as where their background is, what they've come from. Or you see somebody who's homeless and you say, okay, you know, let me kind of figure out in my mind what their situation is, and we make judgments about them. Or we see someone pass us by driving a Tesla and we make judgments about them. Doesn't matter, right? Either side, it's... Yeah. But we all have a story. We all have a story. And our story plays in to the calling that God has in our life. So as I was growing up, thinking about myself this way, you know, there were very few people that would predict that I would be in ministry. Recently, I was on Facebook because my high school is having a reunion. I won't tell you what year it is. Just we'll keep that between me and Jesus. But it's a long one. And I won't be able to go to it this year, this time. But, I mean, people would not think that. They, you know, you see, if you've ever been to one of those, it's like, wow, you're doing that? Or, you know, I thought you were the most likely to succeed. How come you're, no, not. And so, for me, though, people would never have thought this. And I would be considered one of the least likely ones to become a pastor, a leader in a church, a supervisor, a Christian, really. Or least likely to be married to a person like Lisa. She is, like, incredible. No, she really is. I mean, think about how when Lisa and I first met, she was just graduated from college, and I had been out for a couple of years. And my background was something I wanted to hide from her, because she was from a really nice background. Nice family, raised in Nebraska. I mean, Nebraska, everyone's awesome, right? Christian home. And I was kind of frightened to share about my background, because I thought, she's just going to write me off. I don't know if I want to be part of a family like that. But by sharing my story, not only with her, but her family, it shows God's grace. Your story shows God's grace and what he can do. And sometimes we don't want to remember that stuff. It could just not just be our family, it could be us. Like, I was a pretty bad dude, or I hung out with pretty bad dudes or dudettes, whatever. You know, but those are the ones throughout the scripture that God uses. That's the awesomeness of the gospel. It's good news. It's good news. And so today I want to call all of us into this idea that he has a calling on your life, and with the calling, he wants you to live out your unique kingdom contribution. Let me talk about that. Unique kingdom contribution. Well, that means that it's very specific to you. It's not everyone else's, it's yours. That means that it's connected with what he is doing in this day and age. The Bible says that he arranges the exact times and places for us to be alive. That means right now, the time and the place, no accident. He arranges it. Kingdom contribution today. So as you consider your calling, I think that God frees us to live it out day by day. I'd like you to turn in Scripture to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Isn't that where where was the memory verse? Yeah, so pretty close to the same area. Verse 26 through verse 30. It says, "Consider your calling, brothers," and we can add brothers and sisters. "Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not." Even things that are not. "To bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." We're going to break that down in a minute, but I want you to first of all see that Paul, who wrote this by the Holy Spirit, so it's God's word written through an individual, he was living in a day and age in a city called, or speaking to a people that were in the city called Corinth, which was very similar culturally to what we deal with in our culture of America right now. There was a lot of idolatry. There was a lot of sin. There was a lot of mixture. There was a lot of stuff going on. And he was addressing things that are the opposites of what the world thinks and still thinks. For instance, he said, you know, if you think that God is calling you because you've got it all together, that's not how it works. He's saying that there's not many wise according to human standards. That means that actually means people who can form the best plans and execute things the best way. And that's a value of the world, that's how you do things well. And then he's saying there's not many powerful. Powerful in this sense means mighty in either influence or in wealth because of a position. And again, that's a standard that the world lifts up. And then he says, and not many of noble birth. So there was not many then, not many now, that were kings or princes or queens or Kennedys or Rockefellers or whatever name you want to put on it. But he's saying, no, this is the truth, that I'm speaking to people just like our today, that if you were to look at these three attributes, wise, powerful, or noble, and you compare that alongside foolish, weak, and lowly, we're going to be on the foolish, weak, and lowly side. No matter how much we try, we can't be smart enough, we can't be wise enough, we can't be powerful enough, we can't be wealthy enough that God says, oh, wow, that's the one I'm choosing because you got it all together. God doesn't say, he doesn't choose like that. You've got it all together. In fact, you've got it so together that my son didn't need to die for you, so I'm choosing you. No, there's no one like that. All of us are in that category of, if you're going to compare it to wise, powerful, and noble, we're foolish, weak, and lowly. And yet, the wonderful thing is he's saying in that scripture, you're the ones, that's the ones that I'm choosing. So when he says, consider your calling, okay, we have to first of all start with this understanding. This is us. This is where we come from. This is our background. And he says to think about it, to consider it, to find it. Because a lot of times you think, okay, I'm going to discover my calling and I'm just going to pray and wait and God's just going to drop this calling bomb from heaven in my brain. But you know how you figure out your calling as you begin to walk in it? You begin to take steps. You begin to do things in small ways and learn how to listen to the voice of God. When before I was even considering going into ministry, I wanted to go into TV. I wanted to be a news reporter. And so I went to college for that. And sure enough, I graduated from college with a degree in communications, but also had some, at that time, had an inkling that maybe God would be bringing me into ministry. So I did a couple other things to complete my degree in ministry stuff. But so I went into TV for a little while, for about a year. That was my first job out of college, and it was my first and only job I got fired from. And I'm grateful I got fired for a couple of reasons. Better to get fired early in your life and realize, I made some big mistakes. I'm not going to do that again, right? And the other thing is it kind of confirmed that that was my direction. That was where I was going, but it was not necessarily where God was leading me. But I had never really thought about ministry because, like I said, I felt so unqualified. I was telling a group of pastors we were with yesterday in Louisville how, I mean, I just felt like there would be no possible way God could use me. But I had someone that spoke into my life, my pastor. My pastor spoke into my life that he was calling me to something that was ministry. And I kind of put that aside as well and didn't think of it. And so when we consider our calling, it's going to take people that are around us to encourage us, to see things in us. Don't we do that with our kids? We see things in them. Of course, we don't want to force them to do the thing that we want them to do. We want them to figure out what God has called them to do, but we want to encourage them, and we want to speak good words over them. So today I want to talk about three ways that you and I can consider our calling, and we do it again and again because there's seasons. The first thing is to consider what you were called from. And that's kind of what I've been talking about so far. So this was my life. This is the direction I was going. This is where I would end up. If people were to put odds on my life, you know how it's football season and they got odds. Oh, yeah. You know, we'll see what the odds are against my team, against another team, and they're probably really big odds against my team. Yeah. But there, you know, if you were to put odds on your life, on my life, part of thinking about what we're called from is like, there's no way. This is what I walked through. These are the pains I went through. This is kind of what my life was set up for. And I don't ever feel like I can get beyond this. And so it's sometimes not fun to think about that stuff. But the wonderful thing about being changed by God's grace is we can look back and it becomes a testimony of where God has brought us from. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we overcome the enemy by our testimony. It's a way to say to the enemy, oh, you thought that this was going to be what my life was. You thought I was going to end up here. But because of God's grace, look what he has done. And it becomes a testimony. Not just do we overcome the enemy, but our story also encourages others. Because of the things that we have walked through and God has brought us through, others may be there as well. And we can say to them, just hang tight. God's going to be there for you as well. Don't give up. Continue to hope. But the truth is that just because we are born again doesn't mean we don't have a past. Right? When he says you've become a new creation, the blood of Jesus does cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but it does not erase our DNA, our heritage. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my heritage. Again, I was talking to the pastors yesterday about a little of it. I am half Jewish and half Italian, and which basically means lots of good food all the time, lots of good food. Italian on my father's side, Jewish on my mother's side. By the way, never, not church going, not synagogue attending, just culturally Italian and Jewish. Catholic Italian and Jewish, right? So, and that's always going to be who I am. I'm always going to be half Jewish, half Italian. You know, Jesus doesn't say, I've died for you on the cross. You are no longer half Jewish and half Italian. No, you still are. You know, I died for you on the cross. So now all the stuff that you walk through is things that never existed. No, they did exist. So when we consider what we are called from, we have to realize there is a place that God has brought us out of. Maybe in your life, you know, you were the first in your family to go to college, or maybe you came out of a background of poverty, or maybe your parents and their parents were divorced, and you get to say, thank God, he has kept me. He's kept us together by his grace. And all of that is awesome, but you know what scripture says? If you're going to boast, you can't boast because you've done any of it. It's you boast in the Lord. Because all you got to do when you start to boast is look at places in your life where you know if it wasn't for his grace that you would be nowhere. And sometimes it's painful to think about that, what you've been called out of. It's something you don't want to go back and think about and rehash, and I get that. But before we can know what God has called us into, we have to remember he's called us from something. Isn't it interesting, the guy who wrote this, Corinthians, many times Paul said this. He talked about his testimony. He said, I was the worst of the worst. I persecuted the church. I stood at the side of one that was actually martyred. And, you know, I didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I'm the least of the apostles. He kept going back to this is where I was. And by God's grace, he brought me out. So part of it for us, when we consider our calling and want to live out our unique kingdom contribution, we need to understand that we have to understand what we have been called from. So I want you to just take a moment right now. I know that you guys either have a phone or maybe a pen to write with, and I want you just, we're going to pause just a moment, and I'd like you to write down three things that he has called you from, called you out of. Three things that maybe you never personally even walked through, but you know if you didn't come to Jesus, that's where you would be. He's called you from that. So let's take just 1 minute to think about that, write that down. Three things he has called you from. Okay. We're going to move on to now the second thing. By the way, Paul says this when he talks about what he was called from. He said, I receive mercy for all those reasons. I receive mercy so that in me, Jesus Christ could display his perfect patience as an example to those who will still yet to believe in him. See, so our life becomes an example. So he calls us from, but secondly, we need to understand who we are called to. Who we are called to. Now, it's very easy to go from, okay, what am I called to do? But God wants us, first of all, to realize who we are called to, meaning him. Right. That our first calling is to him. Right. It's to know his love for us, that we are his sons and daughters, yeah. That he's our father, that he wants to spend time with us. And the truth is that sometimes the longer we have been serving Jesus, the easier it is to kind of move on from that. Well, we know Jesus loves us, and, you know, we come to church on Sunday, and we worship. We want to experience his presence, but God's got a job for me to do. And pretty soon, the job becomes the thing that we value ourselves on based upon how he feels about us, if we're doing a good job in that or not. And that is so backwards. That is so backwards, because we measure ourselves by a different standard than God measures us by. It's like, okay, am I pleasing to God because I've done this, I've accomplished this, he's asked me to do this, and he's happy with me about this? And no, and the truth is that the longer that even I and any of us have walked with Jesus, we should understand that he's not just interested in us doing things for him, but he loves us just for who we are. I mean, after all, remember, he called us from something. Not because we were doing things for him. It was while we were yet sinners. So now we think, okay, now I'm saved, so it's now he loves me because of what I do? No, it's still because of who I am. It doesn't change. When I was pastoring a church, and we pastored there for 18 years, every week it seemed like I had these voices saying to me, you have to do more, you have to do more. Jesus expects more. The people in the church, they expect more. I got sermons to prepare, people to minister to, needs to be met, work to be done. And then after all that, Lord, then I'll take some time and just be with you. You'll never have the time then. And it's not just for pastors, it's for any of us. If your day and your life starts with, okay, here's my list of things I have to do. Anyone here list makers? Come on. List makers in the house. That's me. And it is so hard. So this is the pattern that I go into, and maybe this could be helpful to you. Early in the morning, first thing, just get away with the Lord and a cup of coffee. Got to have both of those things. And just sit with Jesus and the Word. And, oh, let me tell you, even when I'm doing that, it's not like there's this holy bubble over me that I can't start thinking about other things, because I do. But when they come, I just put them on another part of my journal and just put them there, and that'll be later. Lord, I'm just going to be with you now. And so the list stuff, I mean, if God's dropping stuff into your heart that he wants you to remember, just put it aside. Just be with him. And so even, doesn't matter where we are, there is this potential for what's called the tyranny of the urgent. Like it's the most important thing in the world right then, if we don't do it right then. But my first calling, your first calling, is to him. Not to do the list, not to be everything to everyone. You know, and we all have different titles, right? It could be pastor, it could be mom and dad. It could be, you know, employee, employer. It could be teacher, student. All those titles mean nothing to God. You know what his title is for you? Son, daughter. And when you can be his son and his daughter, then those other things will flow out of that. The other things will flow out. But in order for us to truly move into our calling, it's got to come from understanding that we are not called because of what we are. We are called because of whose we are. Amen. Not because of our title, our accomplishments, our stuff that we do.
but just because of who we are, sons and daughters, his loved ones. Remember, Paul said it. Hey, it's not because you're powerful. It's not because you're noble. It's not because you're wise. It's not because you get your to-do list done. It's not because of your position. Not because you work or serve or accomplish great things, even if those great things are for God or others. No. It's because of whose you are. Consider your calling. And when you do that, God's going to give you the opportunity to see, okay, this is my specific calling to live out for you, to make a difference for you. So we're going to take another minute. You're going to write some things down here. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you that he calls you to himself? Just write a little sentence down or a thought down. What does it mean to you that he calls you first and foremost to himself? Go ahead and take a minute to do that. Amen. So he calls us from, out of something, calls us to himself. And now the third thing is that we consider what we are called for. What are we called for in this day, in this age, in this moment? Because he does have a purpose and we are to be an influence. But again, it's not, we're not measuring his love for us and what he's called us to based on what we do, but it's out of that that there's this natural flow of fulfilling the calling he has for us. So it's put in its right place. I think about the story of Abram, who became Abraham, who was the father of our faith, really the father of all faith, because he was the first among all who became the people of God. And God came to Abram when he was not wise, not noble, not together. He was raised in a culture of idolatry. He was not, you know, all around him. It was not, he didn't even know what it meant to serve one God at that time. And God calls Abraham and says, I'm calling you out of this place, out of this land, and I'm calling you to myself. I will be your God. You will be my people, he says to them. And then he says this, and I'm going to bless you, so that you will be a blessing. Called from, called to, called for, to be a blessing. He was called to be a blessing to others. That's what it really means to understand and practice this idea of, I have something, God's given me a unique part to play, a unique role to play, what to do for him out of all that I know. And we're not all called to the same thing. Isn't that awesome? That no one here has the same calling. No one here has the same passion. In fact, think about all the things in your life. So we all have a sense of calling, passion, gifts, dreams. You know what we do with all those things? Our passion, our gifts, our dreams, our kind of the desires of our heart, the even the makeup that we are in terms of like our personality. The best thing we can do with that is take all of that and give it to God, and then he takes it and he makes a divine smoothie out of it. He blends it all together. And it tastes so good because it's just us. There ain't no other smoothie like it. You can't order it anywhere else because it's just you. And that's what it means to have a unique kingdom contribution. All of your certain bents, your gifts, that's why the Bible says that there's not one part of the body that's the same. And we all need each other. Why? Because I don't have what you have, and you don't have what they have, and they don't have what I have. We all need each other. So we take that and allow him to make this calling smoothie in our and for our life. And we lay and there's something that beautiful arises from that. And by the way, the perfect example of somebody that did that is our Lord and Savior. Because the Bible says that in Philippians 2, he said, have the same attitude as Jesus. Have the same attitude that Jesus had. Consider not only your calling, but consider the calling that Jesus had. The way he thought of himself. He said that he was in the form of God, but he didn't consider being equal to God something to be grasped or hold on to. But he emptied himself. He put down his interests. He let go. And then the Bible says that God got glory through that. Right? So when you think of your life, our calling may never change, but how that is accomplished may change. The seasons, as I said, will change. When I was pastoring a church, I thought, man, I'm going to be doing this forever. By the way, we have pastors that think that. They're going to be doing it forever. But pastors, us, we're all interim because it's not our church. It's the Lord's. And so I thought, I'm going to be doing this forever. And one day the Lord spoke to me and my wife and stirred something in us and said, your season is up doing this. And I was like, I rebuke you, Satan. No, we want to keep doing this. But the Lord said, no, your season is up. You have raised up leaders here. Now it's time to trust me. Now, and I said, well, okay, so show me what we're going to do next. And he said, no, that's not how I work. At least in this case, he may sometimes show you what you're going to do next. But that's, again, my list making. I want to have all the lists. I want to look at the pros and cons. I want to figure it all out. I want to make sure. I was like, okay, Lord, we're just going to, before we tell anyone, we're going to figure out what you want. What are you going to call to us to do next? And the Lord spoke and said, this is what I want you to do. You want all the revelation before you obey me? I want you to obey me first, and then I'll give you the revelation. I want you to start taking steps into the water first, and then I'll start clearing it out. Instead of, okay, well, I'm just going to wait here till you kind of give me the neon sign from heaven. Right? But the season that we were in, we trusted the Lord, and it wasn't easy. I told you the truth right there. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, I'm this, okay, Lord, whatever you say, no matter what, we're just going to do it. No, I fought with the Lord for a long time over it. But then when he called us into this role of supervising, you know, it was like our calling adjusted. Now, we're still pastoring. We were pastoring our church, our local church, congregations, leaders. Now we're pastoring pastors, which, by the way, is much harder. Not your pastors, because they're so. So in Scripture, we see how this happens, how it's calling changes. Okay, I was called to this then, but Lord, even though the calling is still there, the way he plays that out is differently. In the Bible, we see Paul, who we're talking about here, he became the apostle to the Gentiles. And that wasn't his plan. I mean, he was like raised as like a faithful, devout Jew, and he couldn't reach the Jews. God called him to the Gentiles. Peter was another example. He was transformed by the Spirit. He was called, and the expression of that calling changed. He went from being a fisherman to a fisher of men, from a follower of Christ to a leader in the church and a teacher. So our stories change, and we try to write our story. But God doesn't want us to do that. So when we are asking, when we're talking about considering our calling, let me just give you a tip. Consider your calling without trying to direct your calling. Without trying to tell God. Have you ever done that? God, no, this is what I'm called to. Lord, here it is. You know what that's called? That's not being a follower of Jesus, but trying to get Jesus to follow you, which is a big thing in American Christianity today. Right? I got all my plans, got it all. Hey, Jesus, will you bless what I'm doing? And Jesus says, no, I want you to be in the blessing of what I'm doing in your life. Consider your calling without trying to direct your calling. A perfect example of this is Lisa and I are celebrating our 31st anniversary this year. It's coming up pretty soon. 31 years. That is amazing that she put up with me all these years. But when we got to go to Italy this year to celebrate, and we went with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and we just had an awesome time in Italy. But we had this one day when we rented a car. We were staying in Rome. We rented a car and we drove up to the beach, to the seashore, and then went further up and went to this beautiful vineyard. And well, that evening had come, and we asked about a place where we could go to eat. And the gal that was working there told us about this incredible restaurant, gave us the directions, and we were in this car that had GPS that didn't work too well. Or we didn't think it was working too well, but we were following the GPS and ended up like going on these really, really narrow roads going up this hillside. And it was like, wait a second, is this where the restaurant is? And through these narrow tunnels that were like two cars trying to fit through at the same time. And it was just like, wow, this is crazy. And all of a sudden, we realized how lost we were, but we ended up at this beautiful medieval kind of community town on the hillside and this city called Montepulciano. And there's a picture of it right there. You can see it behind us. That was like one of the streets. These narrow streets, these incredible, I mean, it looked like, has anyone ever been to Epcot Center when you go to one of those nations there at Epcot and Disney? It's like, that's what it was like, but it was the real thing. And it was at that moment that I thought about how sometimes we just have to give up our agenda and follow the Lord, even if it seems like we're getting lost. And he brings us to the most beautiful place in our life, most beautiful calling in our life. Imagine if each day you and me as followers of Jesus would consider our calling. Lord, this is what you've called me from. You've called me to yourself most of all. And that as I'm in that place, you direct my calling to what you've called me to do today in this season. That afternoon, when I saw my mom being pulled from the water, put on a gurney, they revived her. I would have never thought that I would be here. I mean, I don't even know if I ever heard of Kentucky back then, except for the chicken, probably, right? But I would never imagine presenting, talking, sharing about that moment. Think about that. At that moment, I would have never thought that I would be telling someone about that moment and how God was faithful even in my life through all of that. Would have never imagined. Wouldn't enter my mind that I would be a Christian, a pastor. And yet today, as I consider my calling, it's amazing to know how his plan works all things together for good to those who love him. And by the way, are called according to his purpose. And that's for you today too. And I want to pray for you and pray a blessing over your life. Could you bow your heads? Lord Jesus, I am just so grateful for the call that you have on all of our lives. It is true, the day we were born is important, but Lord, the days that we understand why. For us, for our families, for our communities, for our church, Lord, I pray for each one in here. Lord, they have a unique calling to contribute to the body of Christ, to the kingdom of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bring greater revelation of that. We wrote some things down. We remembered where we were called from. We understand that we are called to you. But Lord, right now, I pray by your Spirit, that you would bring revelation to what that all means for them at this moment, how they can best serve you, how they can best serve you in these days. I pray for those that may feel like, well, you know, I can't be used. I've got this junk in my life. I walked through this. I experienced this. But Lord, I pray that you would remind them, no, there's not any wise or, and not those that are powerful, not those that are from nobility, but Lord, it's the foolish that you choose, Lord God. It's those, Lord, who are powerless that you choose. It is the weak. It is the lowly. Lord, it is us. And I thank you for your grace on our life. I pray your blessing upon Oasis, Lord God, in this community in Winchester, Kentucky. It is true that the best is yet to come, but Lord, that's because each of us realize that we're all part of this together. So I pray your blessing and your encouragement upon them, and challenge, Lord, challenge each one of us to be able to trust you, to be able to follow your lead and say yes to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastors.
Worship team, if you'll come on up. Pastor Peter, thank you so much for that word. That is, I think it's a very timely, and it goes right along with a lot of what we've been talking about, that out of our being, we do. Mm. It's because of who we are as a result of what Jesus has done. And I always like to give a time of response. Maybe something that Pastor said today about calling, about where you've been, that you've felt that unworthiness, that I'll never be able to do something. And like he said, we've all got a story. We all have a past. But because of Jesus, we also have a hope and a future. So if you would stand with us, and I'm going to have the worship team play. And maybe you just need somebody to pray with you this morning. Maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. You've never committed your life, and that's the first thing that we're called to be in relationship with him. As I was writing there, I was thinking that not only does he call us into relationship with him, but he wants to have that relationship with you. And he desires that for you. So maybe that's what you need this morning. Maybe you just need to, you know, you're just a little confused. Hey, I don't know where this is. Listen, we want to partner with you. We want to pray with you that God would bring clarity, because he's not a God of confusion. Maybe you need a healing this morning in your body. We believe that Jesus is our healer because he is coming back soon. Whatever your need is, would you just cry out to the Lord, number one. But number two, we're here to help and pray with you. So let's sing this. Come up if you need prayer. Well, let's just cry out to the Lord this morning. Amen.
To look on him and pardon me. perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One in himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. The great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One in himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, Christ my Savior and my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one risen Son of God. Hallelujah.
God, Lord, we thank you for meeting us. We thank you for speaking to us, and we thank you that, Lord, that you never withhold what you have from us. Lord, I thank you this morning for the promises in your word. I thank you for the calling that you have given to us, and I thank you for those that walk with us to be able to proclaim the truth of what we may not even believe of in ourselves. Lord, I ask this morning that no one would leave this place without meeting with you. Lord, it's not about a music, it's not about a certain moment on a certain day, but God, it's about meeting with you. And Lord, I ask that today that no one would leave without receiving what they need from you. Lord, we're so thankful this morning, and we're grateful for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Zeke, come on up. Zeke had asked me if he could share something about an event that's going on in the schools this week, and so I want to give him a chance to do that.
All right, there's this program called See You at the Pole. It's been going on for quite a while. I actually learned about it 2 weeks ago. I'm in FCA at the high school, and what it is it gives an opportunity for everybody in the school system or in the community to gather at each school and meet around the flagpole, and they pray. They pray over the school, over the students, staff, over the community in general. I know that at the high school, we have FCA, we have all kinds of different youth groups meeting. And as we pray, I just ask that you guys pray as well. You guys might not be with us, but you kind of are. And that not just for Kentucky, but it's going to be happening all over the nation and even in other countries. Wednesday morning. So I ask that you not just pray for us, but everybody on that morning. We are meeting Wednesday morning, 8 o'clock. I know certain schools might be meeting earlier or later. It just depends. So that's what I ask.
Yeah, I know at Baker Intermediate, they're going to be meeting earlier in the morning there because school starts a little bit earlier. But, you know, I've been a part of these over the years, and it's an easy way for us as a church to be able to partner with our community, with the leaders that are there. And if nothing else, we have the relationship with the preschool here. So if you don't know who else to pray for the preschool and the teachers and those families there. Thanks, Zeke, for doing that and reminding us of that. Hey, I want you to do a couple things for me this morning before you leave. One, I want you to make sure kids in kids ministry that you grab them, sign them out. All right. Secondly, if you would, stick around with us for lunch. We'll have lunch directly afterwards. We've got plenty. And we'd love to have you stick around for that as well. Youth, we've got youth group tonight right here at the church at 6. All right. And make sure that you remember the announcements. If you've got questions about what's going on, let Pastor Rachel or I know. We'd be glad to talk with you about it. Take a look at the board in the room right outside the bathrooms on your room. And always remember this, guys, that God loves you just the way you are. He refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Have a great week, guys.